Back into that wonderful letter to the Galatians. And we're in the first chapter. And God willing, let's just get right into it tonight. This magnificent journey, brothers and sisters, into the grace of God. And by the way, that's the only gospel. Praise God. That's it. Aren't we thankful? It's one stop, the throne of grace. Well, let's go ahead and pick it up tonight in that sixth verse where we left off, and we'll go ahead and read 6 through 9. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, Paul was with these sweet saints at least 3 times, and for lengths of time within those 3 times, preaching the grace of God. All of this is discussed and revealed in the book of Acts, but I'll briefly just touch upon the 3 times that we know through the Word of God that he was with these saints in Galatia. The first time in his first missionary journey, Acts 13 and 14, you can see that the Lord led Paul into southern Galatia, preaching the grace of God to the Gentiles. And he preached it in spite of the Jews that were continuing to contradict the things that he was saying, continuing to blaspheme Paul. And it says there in the 13th chapter in the 43rd verse of Acts that it said that he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So even though that preaching was going on, I'm talking about the preaching of blasphemy and contradiction. There's lots of different preachings out there. Even though that was going on, brothers and sisters, in spite of all that, he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And then in that first missionary journey as well too, chapter 14 and verse 23, it said that they had ordained elders in every church. So Paul's journey by God's grace was very successful. When the Lord brought him out to these people, they received the grace of God. Now the next time that he was with these folks, he went into the northern reaches of Galatia, and that's in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, and in that journey, he picks up Timothy. And it was wonderful that he picked him up, because obviously what a sweet vessel that the Lord had prepared in that life and readied him to receive the fullness of the gospel that was preached through Brother Paul. But Timothy, you have to think of this, was well reported there by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. And Lystra and Iconium were cities there in Galatia. And then the third time that Paul went back to these people in that third journey, it says there, and you know what, let's go ahead and read that. That's in Acts chapter 18. So we'll just take a little time here to read this part. And we'll read verses 22 and 23. And this is the third time he had come to these saints in Galatia. And it says, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed, went over all the country of Galatia. So see, he went all through there and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So it wasn't just hit and miss, brothers and sisters. It was such a completeness that God had brought out. And this is obviously where this letter is going, and especially these verses that we just read. There was great encouragement that the Lord brought through Brother Paul. And we rejoice that these brothers and the brethren there were strengthened in the Lord. And they were growing in the Lord. And we need to understand that the only thing that we can be strengthened by and grow in is grace. So we know that it was the grace of God that was received here. We know that it was the grace of God that moved these saints, and it was the grace of God was the reason for the rejoicing, and that's why Paul was so satisfied with what the Lord had done through him through these missionary journeys that Paul was led of the Lord. So I believe we now know and get a little view of who these saints at Galatia were. And now you see why Paul is in shock. This is why Paul is marveling at them. He is marveling. He's stunned. He cannot believe, in a sense, what has happened. He's saddened. His heart is heavy because he had had such great fellowship three different times with these wonderful saints. And they are wonderful saints. It's not that they were wonderful saints. Every saint of the Lord is wonderful. We need to understand that they're sons of God. Please understand that, brothers and sisters, and we need to pray fervently one for another. And we are to love everyone, and we are supposed to especially love the brethren. And here it is that Paul had rejoiced that they received this glorious doctrine, and he knew that they were established in it. But he says, I marvel that ye are now so soon removed. And I want you to look at that word removed, and it's an amazing word, and it's a word that's used in Hebrews 11:5. In the Greek, it's the same meaning. It's the same word, I should say. And in Hebrews 11:5, the word is translated. And who it's referring to there was Enoch was translated. So what this is trying to say, you think about Enoch being translated. He went from one complete realm to another. That you they are so far apart that it even means from light to darkness, and or from darkness to light. And obviously, in the case of these Galatians, they were so soon removed from light to darkness. Now, I'm talking about their vision. Obviously, they never left the hand of God. Obviously, we know that nothing can separate them from the love of God. But they separated themselves from the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord, that's the grace of God. The joy of the Lord is us, His work of grace, His workmanship of grace. You can always tie everything that Jesus Christ does, because He is grace, back to grace. Everything that we are is because of the grace of God. Everything that we grow in is because of the grace of God. And everything that we grow in is the grace of God. Now, you talk about, again, going from such a completely different realm. That's what happened with these folks, because they removed themselves from grace, complete liberty, into fleshly works and complete bondage. And brothers and sisters, as I was reading this again this past week, I have to tell you my heart was very heavy, because I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's nothing new under the sun, and this happens all the time. And this has happened in my life. And I remember, again, such precious brethren that rejoiced together with me in the grace of God were turned away, and were turned away suddenly. And I'm not talking about just one specific time. I'm talking about different various times in my walk with the Lord. And I know that even in my own life, there have been times that I had turned away from the grace of God. We understand these things. Brothers and sisters, I hope we understand that abiding in faith is the reason we abide in faith is because of the grace of God. Do you understand that? And it was just so sad to my heart to think that, again, one sudden event would just throw grace right out the window. And it can be a sudden thing. Brothers and sisters, we need to truly pray, but for the grace of God, there go I. And the Lord is going to show Himself faithful. And the Lord is searching. As we know, God is searching, and He is seeking for them that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is the true worshiper. And you think about spirit and truth. I mean, it's the grace of God. That's what He's seeking for. That's what He's searching for. And that's what He is going to bring forth, are the vessels to bestow the glory of God. And the glory of God is all in His grace. Amen, it is. And brothers and sisters, this is what this precious portion of Scripture here is about this wondrous grace. But just as these brothers and sisters were so turned so quickly again in our life, I know we've come across this. We have maybe been part of it before. But brothers and sisters, the one thing I want to bring out that is very clear in the Word of God, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It does. When the proverbial camel gets his head in the tent, it's not long before he's in there and he's wreaking havoc. And that's what happens when we turn from the grace of God. And specifically in this portion of Scripture, this is exactly what you get in legality. You become things that aren't godly. You start to become, and in a sense, I'm not saying yourself, but the traits, the personality, the things that you're professing, the things that are coming upon you, even sometimes a very spirit can be of such judgment and bitterness and hate and anger and all of these different things and pride, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but that's the result every single time when we turn from the grace of God. Now, we know that these brothers and sisters in this section of a portion of Scripture, they left grace over self-works or legality. But as the Lord was encouraging my heart, in Jude verse 4, it says there that ungodly men turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is basically lust, or, you know, specifically in a way, sexual lust. So you can see that not only can the works of self-righteousness do this type of a thing, but ungodly men got in there and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, into these lusts. And I remember very well a few years back, the Lord had taken me over on the Western Slope, and I was visiting with a brother in the Lord, and here came some people in, and he knew them, and he was kind of feeling a little bit uncomfortable being around him. And I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, well, they're just into something you don't even want to know about. Well, they kind of came in and took their place around us and started talking. And it wasn't very long that I have to tell you, that was a new one to me. They were basically preaching that that we're living in the millennium right now. And I turned to this man that I knew and I said, what in the world? And he said, look at him. He said, they're just trying to justify anything goes. They all live to each other. They all basically have intimate relationships with each other. They go out there and they smoke anything that's growing up out of the ground. So the way that they can go ahead and cover that is we're in the millennium and God has anointed everything. Now that's crazy stuff. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we can think of that as this great, huge example of turning the grace of God into turning the grace of God or turning from it with these lusts. But how about even when we run around and we're allowing things to rain on us that aren't the things of God? And we say so quickly, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Now, let me phrase it for you. You're thankful for the mercy of the Lord. That's what you're thankful for. That's right. Now, we're onto grace. And by His grace, you grow. That's what grace does. That's gracious. That's the full of grace. And I'm thankful that in that grace we grow. Now, stay with me on this. Hebrews 12:15. It tells us that we can fall from grace being consumed with any root of bitterness. Oh, really? You mean it wasn't just self-righteousness? You can get swept away from the grace of God very quickly in bitterness. And matter of fact, any root of bitterness, any root of anger or jealousy or my principle or something of that nature. Do you see what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, more importantly, what the Word of God is saying here, don't give sin the chance, brothers and sisters. Departure from grace is the opportunity for that sin to come in and reign. Whether it is self-righteousness, whether it is bitterness, whether it is lust, brothers and sisters. Grace is Christ's only gospel. And any time that we start to be led away or defeated, it's because we've removed ourselves or turned away from grace. And see, we understand that it can be through any of these workings of the flesh, whether it is self-righteousness, whether it is lust, whether it is bitterness. And I believe in one way, shape, or form, whether it's self-righteousness, lust, or bitterness, that covers just about every bit of your flesh. Think about it. Do you realize how much you need the grace of God? Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, God, that grace protects us. Thank you, God, that grace encourages us. Thank you, God, that grace, when we do fail, that we understand that that grace embraces us and we can respond because of the grace of God. But see, brothers and sisters, turning to any of these that I've listed, or the Word of God lists, whether it is self-righteousness or lust or bitterness, is not another gospel. It's perversion. It's perversion because we want to feel something. It's corruption. It's completely the opposite thing. It actually means, again, going from light to darkness. And what does it result in? It results in troubled, restlessness, troubled minds, tossed to and fro when sons of God turn from grace. Amen. Now, think of this. God does not leave us unaware. He doesn't. These are symptoms, brothers and sisters, of refusing the grace of God. And the symptoms of refusing the grace of God, again, are self-righteousness and lust and bitterness. Any root of bitterness. When we turn away from that, because grace is His conquering power. Grace, again, is the reason, brothers and sisters, that we can overcome. It's the power of God to enable us to rise up, to become the people that we never could, that we can become the mature sons of God and understand, Lord, that's not who I am in Christ. That is not, that's the lie. And it's not only for myself, brothers and sisters, it's especially for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Think of that. I think about how quick we get into judging and how quickly we get into either self-condemnation or condemning somebody else for something that they might be in. Brothers and sisters, may we magnify the grace of God. The ones that are spiritual, the Word of God says, are the restorers. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I believe that I fellowship, again, all by God's grace, with a group that wants to restore. That we look to restore to fellowship, that we desire not to cast out, but we desire by God's grace to be as our Lord Jesus Christ working in us to have open arms, that you want to receive that fellowship, that you would extend that right hand of fellowship, that there's not any conditions to it. It's love, and it's the love of God. And I'm thankful to the Lord, brothers and sisters. When I say about those conditions, sure, the Word of God wants us to dwell and our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. But I'm talking about when brothers and sisters, as Brother David, would be in certain types of failures where sin is reigning. That failure seems to be defeating them. I would still rather be one as that Samaritan that would take that food and nourishment and want that person to rise up. I've seen a lot of Christians just kick them. I've seen a lot of Christians, well, I'm just waiting for them to cry mercy. I'm just waiting for them to tell me that they're sorry. The greatest thing that you can do by God's grace is already realize, aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ never waited for you to say you were sorry? Amen? And I'm telling you, it's so kooky. But see, that's what the enemy is. He's a confusing thing. He tries to get in your mind and to do things that, again, that aren't, they don't even make sense. And I'm trying to do my best by God's grace, the love of God constrain me, because I don't want to say specific things. But I have seen the craziest things where people getting up and confessing this before people and required to do this and that, to denounce this and to do this. Let me tell you something. My accountability and yours was way back on the cross. And it is done. And thanks be to God that it's done. Now the word of God says for my life, when I have wronged a sister or a brother in Christ, I do go to them and apologize. I am sorry that I hurt you. And I thank the Lord that I am forgiven. And I'm thankful to God and I pray that you have forgiven me. What a wonderful victory that we have. But brothers and sisters, when we're laying down, well, this has to happen, and these are the steps that have to happen to this, we've missed it. You've missed it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to God that we can rejoice in that. So, again, when we turn from that precious gospel of grace, we get troubled. And think about what is at stake. Think about what's at stake. Let's go over and read Acts chapter 20 together in verse 32. This is no little thing. Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Listen to that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, see, grace is the power to win the complete reward of complete sanctification. By God's grace to rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. We know these things. God has so sweetly given them to us. But in Romans 1:5, it goes on to say, we receive grace for obedience to the faith. How many people do you think have ever really read that? I think a lot of people have read it. How many people do you think really believe what they've read or ask the Lord to have them understand that? Did you read that? It says in Romans 1:5, we receive grace for obedience to the faith. Without grace, brothers and sisters, we cannot believe God. He has to open our hearts. He has to draw us. Isn't that wonderful? And some people will say, well, that's selective. No, it's not selective. He wants all men to come after him. He's there. He's not a respecter of person at all. But we have to understand how that's done and rely upon what is doing it, and it's always going to be God and his grace. It's Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that we see the simplicity in it. Romans 5:2, and I think God's encouraging my heart maybe for Sunday with this. It says in Romans 5:2, by grace we stand. Amen? By grace you do stand. You don't stand in your own mind or in your own strength, because I'll tell you right now, you better look at yourself because you're not standing. But it says, by grace we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? By grace we stand and by grace we hope in the glory of God. That's just marvelous. I'm thankful to Jesus that it is that grace that allows me to rejoice in the glory of God. And I tell you, just listen to that. And I don't want to get too much further into that because I think he's got something for later in the week. But what is the hope of the glory of God? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And grace does it. And grace did it. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. You ever saw yourself there by God's grace? Are you not the workmanship of his grace right now, that in the ages to come, praise God. All right. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is a great one. Praise the Lord. They're all great. So since grace is so vital to us, brothers and sisters, that's why God is able to make all grace. Isn't that wonderful? Again, all, complete. It's not just part, it's all. Because see, he wants this absolute fullness of glory to be filled with all the fullness of God, the glory of God, which is grace. That's the workmanship of his grace. It can't help but produce glory. So it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that God is able to make all grace abound to us, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may superabound. And that is the word there. It is superabound to every good work. Grace. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful how the Lord does that. I'm so thankful that I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I loved singing that song, the simplicity of just leaning upon Him, quitting of my own mind, quitting of my own self, quitting to think, well, Lord, I need to do this and I need to do that, and I'm expecting this at this time of a week. I tell you, it has been such a treasure to my life to be a pastor of this meeting, to rely on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He does not do anything in my life the same way. He just doesn't. I know how God works with some, and I appreciate that testimony. And there was a time I was envious. I've heard certain pastors say this and that. Well, I get over here and this happens. Or I go out over here or I do this and God's going to bring me that and everything. And I, well, how's it work for you? I said, I don't know. We're not at the end of the week yet, so I don't know how you're going to give it to me. And they look at me like in shock, and I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes it was 2 weeks ago. Sometimes it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And sometimes Sunday, he doesn't change his mind. It was just on his mind all the time. Amen. So I don't say that I'm always comfortable, but I'm thankful to God that he's teaching me to be still. Because I know when I, by God's grace, come out here, and I know it's his spirit, we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have a wonderful time. Doesn't matter. We're trusting God. And that is such a beautiful thing. Praise his name. But you think about that verse that we just read. That again, it's always having all sufficiency in all things may superabound to every good work. And you read in that verse so clearly, I'm for you. Amen? And I'm so for you that I specifically have and reside in a place called the throne of grace, so that you're always, I'm always ready to freely bestow it to you. I'm ready to give it to you. And all the Lord is asking us is to ask him. Say, Lord, I need. He loves those words. Lord, I need. I need you. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your might. I need your joy. I need your everything. I just need you. Praise God. And even when I don't need know what I need, I just need you. Isn't that good? I just need you. And it's going to be just right. And praise the Lord. And sometimes that's where my mind gets. It gets so mushy. Things get so heavy on me, brothers and sisters. I don't even know what to think. I say that very often. I really don't. I just fall down there in the throne of grace. Jesus, thank you, God. As Peter finally came to, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. And that's a good place to be. I think it's the best place to be. Dependent upon him and him alone. So, going on. 2 Timothy 2:1. He tells Timothy, these are just little highlights. I love this about this wondrous grace and what it means to us. In 2 Timothy 2:1, he tells Timothy, be strong in grace. That means strengthen in it. That means let it increase at an increasing rate in your life. See, Timothy, there's something God, I believe, has for you, son. It's all going to be in his grace. And finally, as I mentioned just a little bit earlier, I think of the one that needed to speak this verse. And obviously it was the one because that's who God chose. But it was Peter in 1 Peter 5:5. He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You think Peter knew that? Amen, he did. And I believe that everyone here, sincere before the Lord, you know that. You know that. When you are strong in self, when you are promoting self, when you're trying to get your self-worth or your self-effort or something, anything in myself, I'm going to get my piece of whatever it is, I know that there's a resistance going on. There's friction going on. I can go right back to that word. It's called troubled. Amen. Absolutely every single time. If you are troubled about anything, yourself or anybody, it's grace. It's grace. It's grace what you need. It's grace what I need. Praise be to God for grace. God help us, brothers and sisters, not to think more of ourselves than we ought. Matter of fact, by faith, May we be completely selfless. Yeah, we can be by God's grace. Because his life, that life lives in us. As a Christian, it's there. See, that's the hope that we have all the time in God's grace, is that life of Jesus Christ. That's why when we get to testify to people or to talk to different ones, and even encouraging ourselves in the Lord, as Brother David said, we can be confident of the life of Jesus Christ in us. That's the confidence I can have. Lord, you have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, there's nothing that can't be done. There's nothing that can't be overcome. There's nothing by God's grace in faith in Scripture that I cannot believe because of the life of Jesus Christ that lives in me. Do you believe that? I do believe that. I've lived that by God's grace. Do you know that? He's taking us into things, brothers and sisters, things that we may have wrestled with, things that we may have been tossed to and fro with. And every single one of us understand that. But God, who is faithful to perform that good work, God, that even if we be otherwise minded, he said, I'll reveal that unto you. Whether it's in our personal lives, all of these different things. See, our life is about the gospel of Christ. That's who we are. The life that we live by the faith of Jesus Christ. He is going to perform that good work, his word in us. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I know that by God's grace, he's given us that divine power in his Holy Spirit. Amen. That as we yield to God and as we yield to that wonderful comforter, the guide into all truth. Praise his name. There's no stopping us in grace. In grace. Understanding, Lord, this is your desire. Understanding, Lord, I am your workmanship. And thank you, Jesus Christ. I, again, so simply marvel that I just show up. He taught us this from the very beginning, brothers and sisters, with that very first precious sacrifice where Abel shows up with the lamb. Nothing else. It's just the Lamb of God. And how often in the Word of God, behold the Lamb. And then I'll tell you something, and there she is, the Lamb's wife. It's a pattern. It's a perfect one. Behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. How simple. Isn't it simple? It is the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Amen. God help us to dwell and rejoice in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So, Matthew 16, 24 and 25, and I encourage you, the Lord had, before we even got here, had placed this little, the encouraging words on my heart. So if you haven't picked this up, read it, because God, he's just beyond perfect. I just sit there and just laugh and say, man, you're something. But in Matthew 16, 24, the Lord says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And you'll find out in studying that out, that doesn't mean not only to forget one's interests, but it means to forget oneself. Huh? Amen. Know who you are in Christ. Know that that is the life that lives in you. I'm crucified with Christ. How about you? You are. But what are we living? How important, brothers and sisters, are you to you? I want to be important to God, and I am. I am, because grace magnifies his Son in me. That's it. That's it. Praise God. And the Lord rejoices in that. The Father is pleased in that. Lord, I understand this life. Praise God. It's your Son. It's your Son's life in me. This is that life that you're pleased with. I didn't do anything. I just accepted it. I'm thankful. I look to it. I look for all of my strength in that life. I look for all of the glory and the power, the goodness, the joy. My hope is all in that life. Do you realize how the Father delights? Do you realize how much joy the Father has? I think of so many people I talk to really throughout the week trying to find favor with God in doing something of their own works. Now, the father's not mad, he's just sad. He's sad. I gave you my son for this. He did it all. As a brother texted me on the way in, he said, "Oh, I'm so thankful. There's a day that people are acknowledging, I guess today, I don't know. Took my family on one side over 2,000 years to get out of. But they said, aren't you thankful that I didn't have to give up anything today for anything?" And I texted back and I said, "Aren't you thankful that he gave up everything? That's why there's nothing I could give up. There's nothing. Because he did it all, didn't he?" And see, that's delighting in that. That's the Savior. That's the Lamb of God. That's the body he has made us. Isn't that wonderful? And that's why we just delight in him. In him. We're precious vessels. But we're joints of his body. Know it. That's what makes us precious. That's what does make us special. Hallelujah. 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 All right. So I think in that, brothers and sisters, then we can encourage ourselves to humble ourselves. And again, may we see, humble ourselves. Lose our life before the Lord. And praise God, we will be empowered with grace to win him. Now, let's go back to Galatians. And I think it's a perfect place to pick up with this sweet humility. Verse 8, here goes Paul again. "But though we..." See, he didn't just say you. He said we. "Or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." See, that's the beautiful thing about Brother Paul. He never, ever counts himself faithful. Nope. Not until the absolute finishing of the grace of God by grace and by the Spirit. He's finished. I'm ready to be offered. I have kept the faith. But as you go into that and you understand, by the grace of God. See, he always understood all the way through. I am what I am by the grace of God. See, and Paul could really testify to that too, couldn't he? Just think what he was doing when the grace of God found him. He was going to kill a bunch of Christians. It's exactly what he was going to do. He was absolutely going to take those people that believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he was going to have them persecuted. There was no thought of God at all going on in his mind. And the grace of God hit him. And the grace of God took him. And he said, "The grace of God found me. The grace of God enables me. And the grace of God sustains me." And this is exactly what he is saying here, brothers and sisters. And as we go on, if the Lord tarry, and we see these things happen, as we see these ones, as Brother Paul was speaking to these Galatian saints, his brothers in Christ, that rejoiced in the grace of God with him, that fellowshipped with him in the grace of God, he always loved them. Obviously, there is this, I'm shocked. I'm stupefied. I don't know what else it is. I marvel that you are so soon removed. But I want you to know this, brothers and sisters. But for the grace of God, there go I. Always. 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 So now, he's saying here, if I will let grace, it will finish my race. It will. And it'll finish it with a joy unspeakable. And I really do believe this, and I will be full of glory. And that's the truth. That's the truth. To be filled and overflowing with all the fullness of God, to descend from heaven having the glory of God. I believe that's what it is. But brothers and sisters, He goes on to say, and if you ever hear me or an angel, you know how they're caught up in a lot of things, or a messenger, anyone else, preach anything else but what I have preached unto you. And again, this is so marvelous, brothers and sisters, because this is again speaking of what that wonderful dispensation that Paul was given. In Ephesians 3:7, I, Paul, the minister of the gift of grace, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ that had been hidden from all until now, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. That's this gospel. That's this glorious, glorious grace and glory gospel. If anything ever preaches anything else, let him be accursed. Amen. This is how priceless this is. This is how beyond valuable this is, this gospel that we come in. There's nothing that could even compare to the treasure of grace. And he goes on and he's saying here, if you hear anything but the grace, the gospel of the grace of God, excommunicate it. Cut it off. Because that lie is doomed for destruction, and anyone adhering to it follows it right into the pit. Wood, hay, and stubble burns. It does. I'm thankful how he's protected us in this precious grace. But see, that's what grace does. Go over with me. We'll jump to the end of this letter. Galatians 6:16. It so clearly expresses this beautiful, beautiful new rule by which we live. It says, and as many as walk according to this rule. You say, well, wait a second. How do I know what this rule is? The next peace be on them. I think we started this letter, grace and peace. See, the only way that peace will ever be on you is the grace of God. So here we go again. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Oh, I love it. We'll get into that a little bit more. But brothers and sisters, the rule that walks in peace, and that is grace. Grace is the new rule. And grace was brought to us in what? The new creation. Amen. That's the new rule, is the new creation. And I'm thankful to God that the rule is new creation, and the new creation is totally and only grace. For we can read and we can believe that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Grace for grace. And grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe we can conclude, and we'll continue to conclude, all by grace, that this is his work, that we are in his keeping. And this is what pleases the Father. And that's why he says so sweetly, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. The clay is still. The clay doesn't move. To be molded perfectly, it needs to hold very, very still. And then the potter's hand, the master's hand, does it all. And praise God, we know that that perfect work is coming forth. Not because it's my desire, because it's his desire. And his desire was placed in my heart, again, by his grace. And brothers and sisters, we can rely and depend completely on that because that is the Word of God. And when we start to become restless, when we start to wrestle with it, really, again, by grace, hit our knees and say, Lord, let me apprehend the grace of God for this. It will bring peace to your life. It'll bring a rest. It is God's rocking chair. Grace rocks you. Grace does not toss you. It rocks you. Things may be trying to be tossed around you, but you're being rocked. And I'm thankful to God, as you saw in that sweet ship where Jesus Christ, all of them were panicking and all that. He went to sleep in the belly of the ship. Grace was always rocking to sleep. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't. And we're going to be tried time and time and time again. But may we always magnify the grace of God. And the evidence of it, we will have peace and we will have rest. And it'll be a sweet thing. And brothers and sisters, that's the sweetness that God continues to pour forth and magnify and increase in this meeting. And may we stand in it, truly. And standing, I want you to know this, and I've been mentioning it again. Standing is merely trusting Him. Trusting His faithfulness. I'm not doing anything. I'm just trusting Him. And when I trust Him, let me tell you something, He strengthens me. And when I trust Him, let me tell you something, I see that armor being put on my life. When I trust Him, praise God, I endure hardness as a good soldier. When I trust God, praise the Lord, I can encourage people and I can honestly look at you in the eyes of the Lord because I know He lives in you and I know He lives in me and I can say, hey, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I can look and I can shout with you, if God be for us, who could be against us? I can be thankful and I can say, oh, our help draweth nigh. And I can honestly say to you tonight, praise the Lord, we are another moment closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's abound in that grace, and we will hope. That's not an if, it's a when. Praise God in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.